Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Might be fitting for a prayer meeting to begin in prayer.
Might be appropriate.
Father, we thank you that we can bow before you at any time. We thank you that you have given us an open invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And Lord, we may be weak in our faith, but you are strong, and in your faithfulness we come, knowing that you hear our prayers. And first, Lord, we just want to thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the exhortation and instruction in your word and the demonstration of how much you love us. So guide us now this morning as we look at another prayer in the Bible and then as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're in 2 Thessalonians once again, and we have just a very short prayer. It's really kind of a benediction, and it begins in verse 16 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, and the beginning is, "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father who has loved us." And so I thought the Father's love for us and how deep the Father's love for us came to mind. So let's sing that. The words are up at the top of your notes, right under the prayer. And let us sing or listen, however you want to do it. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. So
come with us. Your wounds have paid my ransom.
How deep the Father's love for us. So in 2 Thessalonians, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, and for those who just came in, we're in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, and you know this little epistle here was the second letter to the Thessalonians. Paul had only been there 3 Sabbath days, and yet he had made such an impression about Jesus' soon return, that they were all looking for him to come, and they were fearful that those who had died had already missed it. And so he's writing this letter about the rapture and so forth, which is awesome because it gives us such great instruction in it. And as he talks about it in chapter 2, he will end that chapter in a benediction prayer, which we'll look at today. But leading up to that, just reading chapter 2, the great apostasy, chapter 2, verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it is from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means that day, the second coming, will not come unless the falling away comes first. The man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Talking about what we call the Antichrist there. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you may know what is restraining the Holy Spirit, that is, in the church, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The second coming we're talking about there. The coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then this close, we have an exhortation to stand fast, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now here we have arrived at today's prayer, just a 2-verse benediction. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So few words there really, and so simple words. We probably all understand what these words are, and yet when you put them all together, it is so great that we can't even, or I can't even grasp it, how awesome it really is. But he's beginning by really calling our attention, their attention, to the fact that God has loved us and has sent his Son for us. And as through the power of the resurrection there, and the forgiveness of our sin and the wiping away of it, we have an everlasting or an eternal consolation. The consolation there is the same word as parakletos, meaning the same word that we have for the Holy Spirit. He's the great comforter, or the great encourager, you might say. And now in verse 17, comfort your hearts, it's exactly the same word, parakletos, which means consolation or comfort or encouraging or cheering up. But he is giving us that everlastingly. You know, we think about terms of office, you know, 4 years, 8 years, or whatever it is. Or we think about a monarch maybe ruling for his lifetime. Maybe that's, I don't know, 30 years or whatever. But here we have an everlasting consolation. We are created in the image of God, are we not? He is everlasting, and we have that everlasting aspect of him in us. So he's given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace. What does that mean? Well, I think we all know what good means. It's not bad. It's good. Very, very good, right? Perfect. And hope, what does hope mean? Well, the Western definition of hope today is totally different than the biblical hope. The Western hope is, I hope I win the lottery. I mean, there's not much of a chance of it, but I kind of hope so, right? Although I don't hope, I've never bought a lottery ticket. It's kind of hard to win when you don't win lottery tickets, but it's hard to win when you buy lottery tickets. So, but that hope is maybe it'll happen, but probably won't. But the hope in the Bible means assuredness, can't fail, will happen, go to the bank on it, or better than that, go to the Lord on it. So it means we have that living hope in him. It's coming. We have that hope of being with him as soon as we take our last breath. For the believer, that's the surest thing there is. It's not something, well, I don't know, I hope I get there. No, we know. 1 John says what? These things I write to you that you may know that you have eternal life, if you believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we read here then, we have that good hope, and then what? By what? By grace. Grace, giving us what we don't deserve. None of us deserve any of this, do we? And yet through his grace, he gives it all to us. Now, that's the backdrop. That's God and the Father and God the Son through the Holy Spirit. And now, what is his prayer? That God, that triune God, would comfort our hearts. And I pray for that today. I'm sure there's some in here who need some comfort. There always is. There are those who have bad news. There are those who are going through difficult times, through trials and so forth. And maybe they have lost people. I don't say anybody loses anybody, but maybe somebody goes to be with the Lord and those kinds of things in your circle of close friends, acquaintances, or even your spouse is no longer, and you need comfort. So whatever your heart need is, that you may need comfort, that's the prayer, that the triune God would comfort your hearts, encourage your hearts, cheer up your hearts. And second thing is twofold, really, establish you. Establish you. Now, what in the world does that mean? It means that through God, he causes it to happen. Through God, you have the ability to do what he's asking this to do. We can't do it on our own, but we can do it through him. And so the second prayer then, second part of that is to establish you what? In every, we might just think, oh, it must be every good work, right? But it's more than that. This is in every word and work. What does that mean? Well, I think what he's saying there is our words are very important, but they have to coincide with what we do. We've always said, you got to talk the talk and walk the walk, right? And where there's inconsistency in our word and work, we break down. That's back to some of us talked about hypocrisy, that's being something that you're not. So he is praying that God, triune God, would establish us in every good word, that he would cause us, he would help us, he would guide us in what we say, right? And then also in every work, in what we do. James says that faith without works is dead. And faith doesn't save, works doesn't save, faith saves. But we can't really demonstrate our saving faith without any works. You know, I came to the Lord 40 years ago and I've never done anything for him in my life. What kind of a conversion is that? I don't think it is one. But when we are his, then I pray that his word would come forth through us and obedience to doing what he has for us to do. You know, all of you are here today because you haven't finished what he's got for you to do yet. If you had finished, and when we finish what he's got for us to do, he'll take us home, won't he? There's nothing more than needs to be done to get us ready, because we're already born again, and therefore absent from the body, present with the Lord. So let's pray this morning. We've got always much to pray for. We got the lost to pray for. We have the churches to pray for. We have all the bodies of Christ around the world. We have the governments. We have the kings and those in authority. We have our own government to pray for. And let's keep this group prayer in these kind of issues as the Holy Spirit leads us. Keep your personal requests to a little later when we break into small groups. And then the small group will be the time for the personal requests for those things which are personally on you, and we'll have time then for everybody to pray. So let us begin now by just praying as one group here, led by one Spirit, and lead us now, O Lord, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Amen. Let's break into groups of two or three now so we can all pray. Father, I want to lift up our nation, Lord, and so much fighting and bickering and going on in the government. Lord, I just pray for freedom from the backbiting and devouring one another. And I pray for our leaders, all leaders, Lord, kings and those in authority around the world, that they would have the fear of you in their eyes and they would come to you and they would know you and they would lead and guide in their countries and areas as you would have them, Lord. And so, Lord, may your will be done.
Greater power.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning once again, and we thank you for your never-ending love. We thank you for praying for us, hearing our prayers, and interceding for us through the Holy Spirit, Lord, and others who are praying for us, Lord. And as you would establish us in every good word and every good work, we thank you for that. And so lead us now as we go our separate ways. And Lord, may we stay in a position of prayer today. So much to pray for, so much to be thankful for. And so, Lord, may we just open our hearts up to you, giving you full access, dwelling within us, Lord, with nothing held back. So direct our steps by your word. Let no iniquity have dominion over us. Would you bless each one here, Lord? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming, and see you next week.